Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond, Beyond,
Beyond, Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond.
Tune in with TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, the 21st of January 2018. This is Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio. Broadcasting through the Wolf Spirit Media Network, a listener and subscriber supported station. We are very happy to accept your donations and subscriptions, when the PayPal machine starts working again. Been a bit of a problem. We'll have it sorted soon. Thank you for the moment there for this, the other announcement was, Beethoven's, number 7 symphony is called the Apotheosis of Dance. That's the one. Anyway, little snippets of info there for those who need it. Tonight's guest, I met, was it last week, I think? Last Sunday. She subbed in for our earlier Sunday host, Kufunya Ife. And, well, everybody said, oh, you got to get her on your show. You know, maybe she could be. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. And here's in the prime slot, or the other prime slot, actually the 7 o'clock is a prime slot as well, is the lovely Rebecca. Sorry, Rebecca in my mind. That's my girlfriend. Because, you know, I always mix up the founding, the matriarchs, the Jewish matriarchs. Because there was Rebecca and Rachel and Leah and all that, and I always mix them up.
Everyone calls me Rebecca. It's crazy.
Yeah. So Rachel Schaefer, welcome from New York.
Yes.
Da 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 da. So, sup? How you doing?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really feel honored. Like, I felt honored when you invited me last week. But then, I have to say, I went to, Studio 9 Jam on YouTube and listened to some of your former broadcasts. And then I felt a little intimidated, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh no, it's just me.
Well, I mean, you've heard everything. Like, some of those guests are incredible, and then the things you share. I was even more honored that you invited me on your show. So, yeah, so thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome.
I started thinking, so this is dangerous, but I was thinking maybe we could talk about ways we give our power away and what to do instead.
I think that's a marvelous thing to talk about, because this is humanity's problem. And it's something that has happened as a, you know, it started before we were born. It started before our grandparents were born. It's been going on a long time, and it's ingrained into our society, and we hold each other to the same, distorted, values. So let's talk a bit more about what, and also, I hope you, or maybe we can add it, is why do people give their power away? Why? What's the reason? And how do we persuade people not to?
Yeah, I feel like we're always kind of walking this tightrope, trying to come back to balance, you know, and we all have our tendencies. Some of us tend to undervalue our worth, whereas others sort of have this inflated sense of their importance. And I do believe in the whole concept of the fact that we're one, we're kind of one entity. So we're kind of compensating for each other. And I think we can be part of the change by finding balance for ourselves in that. And, you know, when I was kind of preparing this topic and watching some of the playback on your YouTube channel, I came up across, Alex Collier, I believe his name is.
That's right. I've been working with him for the last, 2.5 years now. We've done 50, fortnightly webinars.
Yeah, I came across, okay, so I had your station, playing and I had it on, my Chromecast, and so I had autoplay going, and all of a sudden, this meditation, I think it was a channeled message from a higher being called Morinay, and it was on the isness.
Oh yes, the worship of the isness. Yes, Morinay is actually, it's not channeled. That's the thing about Alex, he meets them in person. And so Morinay is a real guy.
Oh, wow.
He's about 9 feet tall, blue skin, comes from Andromeda. They take him. He goes onto this biosphere. Long, big story. But, yeah, he's a real person and he comes up with these really beautiful nuggets of wisdom, you know, the most famous Morinay saying that is in the common part, common memory is, why, if you're born on this planet, do you have to pay rent?
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Exactly. So yeah, that's Morinay.
You gotta think about these things. Okay.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, I think we have a little delay, so I'll try to be mindful of that.
Yeah, I can hear that now.
So the one that struck me about the isness, because it was kind of synchronous with what I was guided to kind of talk about. And for me, guidance is more subtle. I don't see beings, in that way. So for me, guidance is a little more subtle and I had to learn to really tune in. Because we talked about this last Sunday, where I'm an empath, you know. That's why my business name is Urban Empath, because I'm more in tune with my environment and other people's emotions and thoughts and even physical sensations I take on sometimes. So it's helpful because I'm intuitive with energy, but it took me a long time to know how to tune into my own. And so I learned a lot through the pain and suffering of trial and error. And, I lived in New York City for 12 years. I'm currently in a small town, in my hometown, a small town in Pennsylvania, because, I just made a decision to take better care of myself, and it was becoming less and less sustainable in New York for me because of my sensitivities. But, I learned exponentially there. I grew so much as a person. It really forces you to learn boundaries. You know, when there's so many cultures with all these unspoken rules walking around, you kind of have to get really clear and question your own, you know, look at yourself and question your thoughts and feelings, unless you just want to live in rage forever. You know?
I do.
Okay.
So I can imagine New York is a bit people-y.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, coming from a small town, and moving there, in my mid-20s, I had really only experienced a limited, I had such a limited experience and limited exposure to other ways and other cultures. And so when I went there, I was really opened. And I learned a lot from different different ways of life and different people's outlooks, kind of just through, you know, the absorption of it and just the observation of the different values in motion, you know, because it's one thing to read about culture and the way other people live, and then just to be kind of plunked down in the middle is a different experience. So yeah, I learned a lot through just living in that energy all the time, and it really made me question my beliefs, my thoughts, and develop stronger boundaries just out of necessity so that I could survive, you know? So when I, you know, I was a seeker. I think we talked about this last time too. I was a seeker, and I don't know how you feel about that word. I used to take pride in it. And then, I started reading how that can be a hindrance to always be seeking and looking outside of yourself, right?
Yeah. Well, I always, when I hear that word now, I hear the words of a guy I knew who ran a New Age shop. And he just came out with, oh, well, there's a new seeker born every minute. And, it's, you know, what I'm saying. So yeah, it's like, because we've always been told the mainstream thought, the main meme is that God is outside of you and you seek God outside of you. You travel to India, you do the pilgrimage and all of that stuff. But it's really, the journey is to you, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. And I really feel like that's the definition of a true leader. Someone who leads people back to themselves. You know, and so I really changed my method and approach because, you know, I think when you're new, I don't know if this was your experience, but when I first started healing work with people, it took me a while to put myself out there, first of all, because I kept waiting until, okay, maybe the next training, again, that seeker tendency, I was like, maybe the next training will help me understand how I should work with people. And, you know, then I'll have all the answers that people will ask for. And I felt all that pressure to deliver and add value. And, and I still have to manage that, you know, that expectation of myself, that over giver. And. Well, did you have to manage any of that?
Back in the days when I first started getting into this, there were people in back with the Ben and the Dave's, they were workshops. Everything was a workshop, and that you would get the workshopaholics who would go from one workshop to another and to another to another. Yet they would never step out to start beginning their own mission and their own work. And I think it still comes back to, that nugget you said before about, you're never quite there yet. I'm not quite there at the enlightenment. We'll, you know, get there. And it's just desperate, isn't it? It's just like very desperate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of, you can expect that to happen because of people's conditions. And it's the conditioning, which is now what we call mind control and, propaganda, that keeps it all locked into place. And it's being able to gently dislodge that without freaking people the heck out by like almost ripping off the skin off their eyeballs.
I've never heard it put that way, but that was quite a visual.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. I come out with stuff like that. It's, you know, because you got, you can't keep quoting everybody, you know, you have to come up with original stuff, and sometimes it's a little clumsy, but there you go.
I love it. Well, like, to my point with the whole Alex Collier thing, when I saw that video and kind of listened, I listened to it like maybe 9 times. I mean, I just kept, because every time it would hit me in a different way. And the thing that stuck out to me was that, first of all, that he said something about humans are constantly embracing their essential selves, something to that effect. And it made me think, huh, interesting. Yeah, like kind of going outside of yourself and seeking and then kind of coming back and connecting again to yourself. That was my experience. And that one is still kind of, I'm trying to wrap my brain around it because I don't know what it is about the formulation of those words put together, but it's creating some confusion in my brain, which tells me it's searching for something. It's like scrambling something, you know, which is a great feeling because it means things are moving and changing. But the real thing that kind of was a synchronicity when I listened to that was because I was already kind of writing out ideas for what I wanted to talk about today and I thought people might find value in, was he talked about the three concerns of humanity. And he said that there's self-worth, trust, and expectation. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting. And it's so true. Like, we're always looking to balance those things. Because, you know, for self-worth, like we were saying at the beginning, there are those of us that have a tendency to undervalue our significance, undervalue what we're worth and what we deserve in the world. And then there are those that feel very entitled. And so there's an in-between. There's a balance there that we're trying to strike. And then with trust, it's the same thing. It's like trusting blindly to what we're seeing with our eyes is one thing. And then trusting that there's purpose and reason for our being here, but also questioning, like you were saying, why are we paying rent when we're born here? You know, so it's like choosing where to put our trust, and then also the expectation. Like when we have expectations of others, and it kind of is outside of ourselves, and we expect our environment to be a certain way, the people in our lives to show up and act a certain way, and our needs to be fulfilled in a certain way, it limits us, first of all, and it creates suffering, that attachment. But then if we have no expectations, you know, we kind of aimlessly wander through life without having any goals in mind. And without feeling much purpose, or growth. And I feel like it's all in balance. It always comes back to that for me. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Sorry, I was just distracted. So I want to be completely honest. I didn't hear the last bit.
You daydream through what I was saying. JP, I'm just kidding. I was just saying about the whole, like, coming back to balance. With those three things that Alex Collier received from Warren, the self-worth, the trust, and the expectation.
All right. You know, yeah, okay. Now, I got you. Sorry. I was completely... Yeah. Anyway, long story. So there's the balances, and it's like, it's... You know, I used to describe, you know, getting into balance like balancing a wheel. You know, when you take your car to the garage and they, or you take your automobile to your garage, they put little bits of lead around the wheel to keep it into balance. You know, you ever seen that?
No.
No. All right. Anyway, that's what they do. They put little weights and they counterbalance the wheel so that it spins in the same direction. It doesn't wobble or anything like that. So, what we're talking about is more than that. It's more like a sphere moving in multiple directions, but all, it's like, more like having a shoe in a washing machine, right? There you go. There's a better one. If there's a shoe, there's extreme behavior, you know, and it's going to pull and it's going to make a lot of noise. Your soul's going to hear that noise. It's going to say, oh, what the heck's going on here? Take that shoe out or put another shoe in, you know, so that it'll counterbalance it. Probably taking the first shoe out would be a better idea. I don't know. So. All right. So coming back to the idea of those, the extremes of like people who give too much trust. You see it all over the place and it's like, oh my God, they're just waiting to be hurt. you know, and so.
Yeah.
So what's all that about?
Well, I mean, I did live that way for a long time. I sort of trusted what I was told, but also I was raised Catholic. So, I was saying on the last show too that I have I had the tendency to sort of, float up and out, like dissociate, you know, from grounded reality and experience and also my own body and system. So I had that tendency to feel overstimulated. And then, so I developed a sort of coping mechanism that led me to what they call spiritual bypassing or premature ascension. So in that, I was never really fully grounded and present with myself to have any sort of ability to navigate the world. So I felt like I had to anchor in by seeking outside of myself. I think that's part of it, and that's probably a really complicated way of describing it because I don't fully understand myself. But and there was also the idea of not questioning, you know, having blind faith. That was a kind of a belief and a concept in Catholicism as far as I understood it, that it's better not to question. You know, there are certain things you don't need to know. So it's important to trust blindly. And I think that translated when I sort of had my disillusionment with Catholicism and moved into the spiritual realm. I sort of started blindly trusting psychics, leaders, teachers, and also not really understanding that not all wisdom is for every person. You know, I would hear the wisdom and advice that if you give of yourself, you know, if you give to others, you're giving to yourself. And I think that's beautiful advice to somebody who's sort of self-focused, you know, and in a place of kind of only looking at themselves and in a selfish place in life. But to somebody who is lacking that sense of self, it can kind of enable somebody to continue over giving or things like that. And it's kind of scary. You know, Marianne Williamson always talks about it's our power. You know, our fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. You know, it's easy to feel weak. It's almost like comfortable to feel like we don't have power. But when we suddenly become accountable for our participation in our lives, it can feel overpowering and intimidating. Do you think?
Indeed. Well, overwhelm is another one of the so-called human conditions, isn't it?
Yeah. I kind of wrote a list of ways that we sort of give away our power without knowing that we're doing it. And, you know, there's power in our attention and our focus. So where we put our attention is where we put our energy. It's where our energy flows. So, you know, practicing mindfulness and kind of consciously choosing where we put our focus is one of the most powerful things we can do. And so they're becoming more conscious and mindful of that, is really, really important. So I think that one way we kind of unconsciously, give away that power is by having, limited thoughts and irrational thought processes. And I have a few here that I put together, and I want to see what you think of this. And if if there's more that I'm missing, because, you know, I acknowledge this is an incomplete list, but it's what came to mind to me. And it's when we have polarized thinking, you know, one of the concepts of this irrational thought process is when we believe something's all good or all bad, you know, black or white thinking, all or none. Because there's so
people
much
go
gray
polar.
Area.
People go polar, yeah. Don't they?
Yeah, they want to take sides. And I feel like that's how we're divided and conquered, when we're forced to kind of choose a side. But, you know, there's so much we don't acknowledge when we do that. You know, we're limiting ourselves. I think another thing we do is the brain has this thing called negativity bias, where we sort of only, or we mostly hold on to memories of events that were painful or that we deem negative out of survival. It's partly the way the brain attempts to keep us safe. And then we feel like a victim of our past a lot, instead of remembering that it was kind of a mixed bag. There were some happy times too. And I remember, I know how to experience joy and happiness as well, you know? And, but it's part of the conditioning of, you know, that primitive part of our brain. So we kind of have to consciously recall, the good things. And, that's why, you know, gratitude practice is so powerful, because it helps us put our minds back to the positive as well. Another thing we do is catastrophize. That's another kind of irrational approach to thinking and those beliefs we hold on to. We use fear to terrorize ourselves into expecting the worst. And then we actually resist it. We never really follow the fear and just say, well, okay, what's the worst that could actually happen? And what is this fear meant to be teaching me or showing me? We kind of just hold it as far away as possible and live in that terror. Another thing that we may do with our thoughts is personalization. So we think everything's about us. You know, if someone is internal, just for an example, if we approach someone and they're in an internal space and they don't feel like talking, we think they're mad at us or we did something wrong, when it's really they're just honoring their own needs or boundaries. And there's so many examples of that where we kind of disempower ourselves by really focusing only on ourselves and our impact. Another pattern is sort of control fallacies, where we have a perception of external control, where we see ourselves as helpless victims, you know, victims of fate or circumstance or of our past, whatever it is. And then we also have the opposite, which is internal control fallacy, which is when we assume responsibility for the pain or the happiness of those around us. When we think we actually have control to make someone else happy, or if someone's in pain, we think that, you know, we were able to cause that. But and that's really disempowering ourselves and others, you know, not honoring that they have choice. They're choosing that. Another thing is something I talked about in the show last Sunday was, and there's two more. This one is fixed mindset versus growth, where we sort of think, okay, well, this is how I am and I'm never going to change. Or, I'm at this level, you know, I'm this good of a singer and I'll never get better, or whatever it is. Instead of realizing, okay, I'm growing. I'm not just stuck at this one level. I'm growing. And then the final one, which I think is really, was the most empowering for me when I sort of really looked at it, was blame. So you know, when we feel like we don't have a choice, we say to ourselves, like, I have to do this, or I need to do this. And we do that with so many things in our lives. And it just creates all these, kind of unuseful, unhelpful emotions, like resentment, resistance to reality, like even hatred, you know, and it really usurps our power to create an incredible present moment, you know, especially when we're resisting because we don't feel we have choice. And it really helps to acknowledge that we're choosing, whether it's, I'm choosing to show up to work today, you know, that was a big one for me. Cause I would oftentimes just sit there and resent being at work. And it's like, actually, I had a great job. I should have been grateful, but it was one way I just loved to give my power away. So I think, you know, looking at these irrational thoughts, it's really important to see that we have choice, you know, not to be perfect ever. I mean, we all fall short of perfection, but just to kind of realize that we can fall into these patterns and choose mindfulness, you know, slow down our thoughts and think, is that really real? Is that really true? Am I lying to myself? And we slow down our thoughts when we meditate. I actually gained a lot of freedom when I read, Byron Katie's work. She calls it The Work. And it involves inquiry. Are you familiar with Byron Katie?
I'm familiar with people who are familiar with Byron Katie, and they all go, The Work. And it's like, is it real? Is it true? Can you buy cheese right. with it? And where can I get one?
Yeah. I mean, if you go to YouTube and look up Byron Katie, you can see her work in action. It's not the only tool, you know? It's not the only work that's helped me, but it opened up a lot. And for me, it's about freedom, you know? Feeling like I have the freedom to choose is so, it makes me feel powerful in my life again. And seeing possibilities instead of feeling stuck and stagnant in these patterns. And these are kind of the things you kind of look for if you're coaching too, you know, of where are people limiting themselves and how can they be open to other possibilities? You know, and you sort of start asking these questions from a curious place and observe, transformation. I really like the idea of giving away, tools and kind of the nuts and bolts of a lot of the work we're doing as, you know, healers and coaches and, part of me felt conflicted about doing that because, you know, my ego gets a boost when people are amazed how I know things or, you know, like when people think I'm magical or something, my ego gets a huge boost. So I really had to put that in check and ask, you know, what's your real intent here? What's your true purpose? And it was almost like I felt like, am I going to be like a magician revealing his tricks or something, like giving the nuts and bolts of everything? But then I checked in with my mission, and that's kind of what I want to talk about later. And that's what this is kind of leading up to, is a little exercise about how we can really get in touch with our inner compass and, live in purpose, live in our purpose on purpose. So I think that helps get us back in our power and see that we're choosing our reality. What do you think about those irrational thoughts?
Ah, Well, you know, there's lots of schools of thought on the irrational thoughts, but my I work on a very kind of basic level, which is like we have a heart that beats and lungs that breathe, or a diaphragm. And when that diaphragm is frozen through shock, we go into a form of hypoxia. And we know that hypoxia produces delusions and illusions in the mind. And we undergo a form of organic or deliberate mind control, which brings us out of our natural state of being in our body into a kind of little safe place, which is the intellectual mind. And the degree of trauma reflects the degree of disconnection from the physical. And the way to reverse this is to deliberately breathe into the places where we've frozen out.
Yeah. Have you heard of heart math?
Heart math. The man with the mullet. What's his name? Greg Braden. He talks about heart math.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's really fascinating. They do a lot of research on the heart and the electromagnetic field. And they found that it's 60 times in amplitude as that of the brain. So, it's really powerful. And they also found that, you know, the heart has its own brain, sort of. So, there's this exercise where you breathe into your heart, especially when you're in a state of, you're feeling frazzled or, anxiety, whatever it is, breathing into your heart and getting back into that wisdom. That's what made me think of when you shared the breathing. That really worked for me. I was managing an acupuncturist's office, and she was kind of like me, always studying new technologies and things on healing, and she added that to her practice. And so she would guide me through things like that, especially when I was having a stressful day and I was feeling anxiety. And it was so helpful. It was such a good tool to have. So that's interesting. I know that for me, checking my thoughts has been very helpful. That's why I like to share that, because also, like I said about the spiritual bypassing, I had the tendency to kind of not be very grounded or practical and not understand how the physical world really worked, how that worked out, and like how to kind of have an impact in my life that way. So, it made me feel like a victim because I didn't know kind of these unspoken rules of the physical world and, how to show up in my life in that way. So, the medicine for me was the really grounded, practical, approaches, which is what I like to share often, because, I was really drawn to the sort of mystical, spiritual teachings and things like that because it had resonance for me, and it was kind of how I was already showing up in the world. And then, at a certain point I realized, I needed something to balance me out and, ground me and bring me back. And I found that sometimes the more practical things really helped me do so. But, so that kind of brings me into the second way we kind of give our power away, which is, you know, we care too much about what others think. We have the approval-seeking behaviors, and sometimes we're waiting for approval. So I recently started The Artist's Way with Julia Cameron, the book. I started the book journey. And I've been posting on my YouTube channel, some blogs about the journey and the experience, and it's been amazing. People talk about the morning pages bringing synchronicity into their lives, and the morning pages are one tool. You kind of write three pages of just a flow of consciousness onto the page, and it really organizes your thoughts and clears away some of those it's kind of the clutter of thoughts in your mind, and it helps you start the day clearer. One of the exercises, though, was kind of coming up with affirmations about who you are as an artist. And I felt a little silly doing it at first, but I wrote out affirmations like, I am an exquisite singer, prolific writer, relatable actress, and hilarious comedian, and you write it out 10 times and you see like all the negative talk that comes in and to put that in check. But what I noted when I did that experience of kind of writing that out, and repeating it, in that way, like 10 times, is that I was waiting for somebody else to say those things to me. I was kind of waiting for someone else to acknowledge my talent and skills. And it was like, you wait for a savior, you wait for someone to save you, to come and find you and get and discover you. And when I realized that, I woke up, I kind of woke up out of that trance and realized, well, I have had that experience where people acknowledged my talent or said, wow, that was a great performance, or, there's a real actress. I had those experiences, but it was never satiating because I was really waiting for my own approval the whole time, which, it's moving to think of that, like waiting your whole life to be approved of, and you're actually just waiting for yourself. You're waiting for your own approval.
Yeah, who's just waiting there, waiting for you to realize that they've already, oh, hello. Oh, finally. Hallelujah.
Exactly. I did the, there's this book called Calling in the One by Catherine Woodward Thomas. And again, it's a bunch of exercises. It's supposed to help you attract your whatever life partner, soulmate, whatever it is. And I went through the exercises. It was actually recommended to me by an astrologer because I wanted to create a different life for myself. And she's like, you can do it about creating a new life. But I focused on, partnership. It was deep work. I mean, the exercises took you deep. And in the end, you really realize that, you're the one, and you're kind of, you're a whole person,
So that is the thing. It's like the journey from, what did they say? The journey from the mind to the heart is the longest journey humans can take because we'd never think of in a thousand years of looking there.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, how empowering to, because the seeker thing, it really encompasses almost every area. You're constantly looking for something outside of yourself. It's like fueling consumerism. It's fueling so many things. And then when you finally feel like, I don't need anything outside of myself. I don't even need a person outside of myself. It's not the feeling of power you would expect to feel like I rule the universe, I'm in power. It's this peace. It's this feeling of like an integration of aspects of yourself that have been fragmented in a way,
So. Fragmentation. that's one of the things that happens to us, and during the breathing process is the reintegration. That's one. Reintegration of the fractures that the aforementioned lack of breath. I mean, it's basically we breathe new life into our parts, and we can reintegrate them. Anyway, that's the way that I've been working. Anyway, it seems to be working slowly for myself, but yeah, it works for others easily.
Yeah, it's one of the ways we move life force energy through our system. You know, on a day of Judith, I took a training with her, and she's one of those people that has mastered something. You know, she created the system of chakra healing and has stuck to it and mastered it. Whereas I feel that, I have a tendency to be a Jane of all trades, if you will, instead of really, you know, mastering one thing. And she talks about, like, when you have an excessive chakra, which shows up physically in your system, you can balance it out by breathing into the back of it, you know, and kind of exhaling out the excess in the front and working towards alignment. Because really all chakras align to the spine. She only works with the 7 main chakras, but that was really fascinating to me that you can, sort of, you know, you move energy through your attention, and then you can have intentional breath too, and move your life force energy that way. So, that was really interesting work. I still practice that.
And, we're just about to take a break, at the top of the first hour. And I've got that piece by, Alex Collier that, I put on the internet there. So,
awesome.
We can have a listen to this. This is, The Worship of the Isness by, Moroney.
This was given to me in 2/24 of 95 when I was in California. The worship of the isness is silent and solitary, free from all self-seeking. The silence is a necessity as all speech is feeble and imperfect. Therefore, as with your ancestors and ours, their spirits and consciousness would ascend out of time and space to the isness in wordless adoration, feelings. There are no priests or saviors authorized to come between a soul and our maker. Each experience is personal and different than one another, and should not in any way be meddled with or even judged. Every soul should become conscious of the divinity that it is in itself. There should be no shrines nor temples among you, except for nature and the caretaking of nature by mankind. Be a real natural human being. Your real faith may not be formulated in the creeds as you have been taught, but from a deeper portion of yourselves that you have forgotten or you choose to ignore. Temples were built on your planet to honor and worship the extraterrestrial beings believed to be gods. The isness can be worshipped by honoring yourself and that which is given you. By honoring yourself, you honor the isness, because you are truly one and the same. It is important to remember the isness does not place value upon the material fabric of time. This has only been created so that we as souls could learn more about ourselves and return with our experiences to contribute to the creation of ourselves. The rituals of offerings and sacrifices and other symbolic objects only means something to you. The isness is only interested in your intent, the path of your heart. Look to find your highest happiness and the motorful power in your existence. Do not look with ill upon those of simplicity or poverty. Of one's path, regardless of lifetimes or life forms, is not the accumulation of wealth and the enjoyment of material luxury. It is to discover your true self, that which is apart from the isness. It is that part of you which chose to leave the comfort and safety of all eternity to fall into a concept of time and physicality. To become a true human being is the practice and constant embracing of your own essential self. And from that place of eternity, your thoughts, actions, and emotions should emanate into the world. Human beings should be vulnerable, open, focused, strong, and flexible. In your world, the three concerns all of you must address personally are self-worth, trust, and expectation. Your earth not only needs healing, she also needs a responsible and worthy companion. And that companion is you. There is a great need for the men of your world to become intuitive and for development of the soul. Men must cultivate unconditional love on all levels. The men of your world are too aggressive and full of self-imposed loneliness. Please remember that all energy moves in a circle, so everything returns. The love, the anger, the despair. Which do you choose to have inside your circle? Love, anger, or despair? Please, we ask you to acknowledge the fact that the love that you withhold is the pain that you carry. So let love warm your voice. Let love be wonder to children's ears. Let imagination create a world of unconditional responsibility. It will also change the order of the old world. Let your emotions give motion to the heroes that struggle within all of you for the freedom to act, to be, to witness, and to apologize. The responsibility of becoming a human being is great, but it is also natural. It is a prayer in motion. It is your evolution and free will in action. It is the flow of life in all things. So love the earth and make new life, for children are always a new beginning. Most of you have yet to discover a world you've already discovered. Ladies and gentlemen, that was from Marnie.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, Wolf Spirit Media Network. Good evening, and welcome to the second hour. It's now the 22nd of January in the UK. Welcome everybody who's joining us in the second hour. And I'm joined tonight by Rachel Schaefer. It's good to have you here. We've been talking about the ways that people give their power away. There are many places that people give their power away, and not just, you know, sometimes you can hold your power in certain circumstances and not in others. And I think part of our lesson is to try and always hold that level of pressure. I suppose it's like wearing a deep sea diving suit. The deeper you go, the more impregnable the suit has to be.
I love your metaphors. They really make me think.
I just try and make one up as I go along, just to keep them fresh. And sometimes they don't work, you know, like there was one last hour. But anyway, keep going. So yes, here we are.
I mean, that's so memeable. So I was kind of just riffing on ways we give our power away. And you know, the first couple we talked about were those irrational thoughts, those irrational patterns of our thoughts. They can really put us in a loop, and then we're stuck. And inquiry and things like that, mindfulness, can really help us get out of those patterns. And then there's the other the second one that I was talking about was sort of caring too much about what others think about you, or, you know, approval seeking, or, you know, waiting for approval outside of yourself. And, we always come back, you know, we don't always, but the journey, I think, is leading us back to ourselves. So finding out from my story that I was waiting for my own approval that whole time was such a huge breakthrough. And then I was suddenly empowered with courage, you know, to move forward. The third one I kind of want to talk about is, well, okay. So first of all, really quickly, before we move to the third one, I want to talk about, you know, when we care too much about what others think and that approval seeking and all of that, what we can really do for ourselves is, and I think one of the most empowering things you can do for yourself is to live in your own good opinion, you know, to do things that allow you to go to sleep, you know, with your conscience clear and free, to live in your standards and there's this idea, this concept that in our minds, we are not who we actually are. We're not even who we think others think we are, but we are actually who we think others think we are. So this whole idea is so complicated. The identity is so complex. That we're very rarely objective. We're very rarely thinking objectively. And this whole concept of personality and identity is so tied to what we think others think of us. But that's why it's even more important and valid to really be clear about what our values are and living within those, you know, having those standards for yourself. And so, I'm going to talk about a couple more of these ways we give our power away. And then I want to give you what I feel is a very useful exercise that has really helped me. It's given me an inner compass. It's made me feel like I know how to weigh decisions now. I know how to work in my own integrity now. And, so I think it'll be useful. So, more on that. And so the third way we give away our power is when we attach to outcomes, when we're attached to the outcome, and that can be in many different areas of our lives. You know, as a healer, if I expect you to have a complete 100% recovery from whatever illness you came in with, that's really disempowering to me and to you. Especially because I personally believe, and I mean, I think this is fact, I don't think I'm believing falsely here, that your healing is in your hands. You have the power to heal. Your body is intelligent. And I think we've been disempowered by not really understanding that fully. But also, my dad was saying this, if you go to buy a car and you see it on the lot and you decide that's the car, that's my car, I know that's my car, you have no leverage to negotiate because you've already decided, and, you know, the salesman's going to read that and know that, you know, he can charge you a lot of money because you've already decided. It's like that with relationships too. You know, when we decide we've met the one, this person is the one, and we just won't acknowledge that, that may not be true. We're willing to put up with a lot of bad behavior from people. We're maybe even abused, you know, in that situation. So seeing our options and having choice gives us a lot of freedom and power in the situation. So we have to be willing to walk away. We have to be willing to have standards and, you know, deal breakers, and to choose what we invest our energy in. So again, the exercise we'll do a little later, I think will help navigate this more clearly. Cause you know, you've had those moments in life where something just lined up. It just felt, like you did something and it just felt so good inside. It resonated so well. And, you know, you kind of joyously vibrated and it just felt like it was right on target. There's a reason for that, you know, and oftentimes this happens under our radar. So we don't really know why it felt that way. And I feel like the exercise I want to go through quickly will maybe give us a way of making that happen more often and know how to consciously create that on purpose.
Rachel.
Yeah.
We have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's hope she's joining us. Hello, caller from New York.
Hi.
Hi.
And I feel like,
yeah.
You have to turn off your radio, Kufunya. Turn off your radio.
Huh?
Turn off your radio, thank you.
Turn off, wait, okay.
See, you can hear yourself. Okay. That's what you sound like on the other end. It's scary, isn't it? Nobody likes to hear that.
Wait.
Not the first. Yeah, turn off.
We're gonna hang up on you.
Okay, wait, don't hang up on me.
Take a breath. Everybody take a breath. No panic.
I'm doing something wrong. Okay, wait. Okay, I'm gonna turn this off.
You can hear yourself. That's what you sound like on the other end. It's scary, isn't it?
Oh. Okay, I'm here. This thing is
not
turning on.
You got it. Hello, Kufunya.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
I am, I looked up at the clock and I said, oh, S, I gotta call in. How's it going? Hi, JT.
Hey.
Isn't Rachel amazing?
Oh, she's lovely. Well, we're talking about the memes of the moment. Things that everybody needs to know about.
Pardon me?
Things that everybody needs to know about.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I just wanted to call in, you know, to give my support because, you know, Wolf Spirit Radio to me is very special to me. And when I invite people, to come in, I really have a great regard for them, you know, and I just love, you know, the fact that you're here. And like I was telling Rachel before when she filled in for me last Sunday and I listened, you know, to the broadcast, you know, to the archives, I listened first as, oh good, my good sister is filling in for me. And then I listened as though I didn't know her and had, you know, this woman, this phenomenal woman on Wolf Spirit Radio as her show, you know? So I think it's a wonderful thing that you're here today, this beautiful Sunday evening. And thank you, JP, you know, for, you know, having her on Sunday. This is wonderful. Today.
Well, it's very lovely. Rachel, what would you like to do next?
I have one more way we give away our power and then a little exercise that we can all do. So do you want to do the exercise with me on live on air, Mama?
Yeah, why not? I'm here.
Okay. So let me just share. Let me just share the last way we give away our power, and this one's huge, and I know you both will have a lot to say about this one. But the way we give away our power, maybe the biggest way, is we allow others' agenda to dictate how we spend our day, where we put our focus, what we spend our money on, you know, what we consume, what we believe. Because most people don't, like, decide or intend how they're going to spend their time in the day unless it's dictated to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as far as living on purpose, that first hour of the day, what we decide to do with it really does dictate how the day is going to go.
Agree.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's so important to live on purpose and bring those values and our own agenda, our own, you know, what our own values and mindsets, bringing those to our conscious awareness so that we're choosing them. And again, It comes back to choice. You know, it comes back to our choice. So, if we're not living in our purpose and choosing consciously, oftentimes, you know, it's most likely being dictated by somebody else, you know? When we sit and watch television, it's called a program for a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much influence, and it's so important to kind of take the reins on that. So it's important to take control of our own healing process and our path, and not putting those things in other people's hands, you know, always participating and trusting in ourselves and our inner guidance. I don't think I ever told you this, Mama, but I actually had a psychic reading with a very famous psychic. And he was very spot on about a lot of things. And it was a time I was really struggling with where to go after New York.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he saw me in Southern California. And, you know, that's where I'll meet my partner. And I'll have a family. And I needed to be there yesterday. You know?
Oh, wow.
And I believed him. You know, I was like, he's right. He's right. So what ended up happening was, obviously I'm not in California. But it created so much suffering for me because I trusted his words over my own guidance, you know, about what was right for me. And so I disempowered myself by giving too much trust in someone outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
I agree with what you're saying, because like I was speaking to you before and other people, you know, there's a lot of times that we do give our power away when we don't trust our own intuition or our own nudges. You know, they like to bring you into their storm.
Or
bring you into the sunshine. But more than likely, sometimes it's like bringing them into your storm. I'll give you, for instance, today. My son had called me up and said, Ma, I need you to do this for me. All I need is your bank account. Right? Because I need to get something. And it's very important, and blah, blah, blah. So I thought about it, and I said, okay, let me speak to the gentleman. And so what happened was, it wasn't just my flipping bank account they wanted. They wanted me to fill out a whole application as if I was getting the thing that my son needed. And I said, no. You know, and of course, you know, I told the gentleman, I said, if I do this, I want to do this under my business account, right? It's going to be in my business name and whatnot, right? So, you know, you don't need my personal information, or I will just give you the banking information and you can take it from there, because I was okay with the price. And then after I gave the man my information, you know, quote unquote, it was an approve according to him, but I don't know about that. But then he got really mad at me. My son got really mad at me and said, oh, you never, you know, when I need help, you're never there and blah, blah, blah. And you know, that's not true. And the word never means like never. There's no room for after you say never, because there's a lot of, you know, never talking to me, never this, never that. So to make a story short, So as a you know, he tried to bring me into the storm. He said, "Oh, Ma, that's messed up. This, that, and other." And you know what I did? I offered him to pay half of what he wanted, because in my budget I could do that, but he wanted this whole drama thing to go, and I just had to hang up on him. And I would not give him my tower. I would not give him the satisfaction of trying to make me feel guilty, because he didn't disclose all of the information. And when I found out what that information was, you know, I said, I'm not going to give you my personal information, but we can put it in my company's name. And, you know, we should not give our power away, and we should not invite other people's storm into our lives. And we must trust our intuition and those little nudges that we get. Because I still offered to help, but he said, oh, never mind, Ma, forget it. You know how they go on, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right.
I said, I'm good. But go ahead, Rachel. This is good. This is good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, the message for this show was so clear. I just wasn't, I don't know if the way I compiled the information was on target, or how, if I shared it in a way that's really relatable or digestible, but I do know that it's important to talk about. You know, we got to talk about giving away our power and how we really live on purpose, because we are consciousness. So the more conscious we can be, the more presence we'll have. And the world needs our presence, you know, like the Alex Collier meditation, you know, the earth needs our companionship and our responsibility. And in that, we need to be present in this moment.
You know, Rachel, I was listening to an hour of Caroline Mace today, and she said everybody on planet Earth has to pull their weight. There's no leaning back and waiting for somebody else to do it. Everybody has to pull their own weight as much as possible. If you're not able due to other, maybe perhaps a serious illness or whatnot. You know, it's exceptions to that. But if you're an able-bodied person, you have to pull your weight on Mama Earth in this time more than ever. So she's having a series called The Power of Your Words. And let me tell you, when she ran down the list, like the word never, you know, was one of the words that she mentioned, and she also said that words do hurt. You know, you ever heard that nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt. A word can disable a person in a heartbeat. A word. Yeah. So when you talk about giving your power away, when you did, you allowed that person to dictate what your future now would be, and not knowing that you have the capabilities, even though if somebody gives you a reading, you still, those are not like, I'm not saying they're not 100%, but they're just guides so they can show you what you should do, what to look for, blah, 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 like that.
Exactly, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we need to, I mean, there's an art to receiving a reading too. And that's another thing about like knowing how to show up for your own healing or your own reading. We need to understand that just as much as how to help facilitate healing for someone else, because so many people show up and just put their entire healing process in your hands. And I mean, my conscience, you know, was alerted when I started creating dependency, you know, with clients, right? I mean, people would come to me and want the answers. And I felt so out of integrity and out of alignment with my purpose by doing reading after reading for people. And it was the same topic over and over again. I was like, there's no growth.
Right. So the thing of it is that we have to show up when I'm talking to my clients and whatnot, they have to do the work.
Yeah.
I can't do the work for you. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink it. You know what I mean? So there's no magic bullet. We just have the tools. Those of us who are in this type of path, we're like signposts. We give information. Let me tell you, if I need information or if I need guidance, I go to someone, because healers need healers too.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not 100%, you know, spot on. And sometimes our intuition is on and sometimes it can be off. But you within yourself, the person who is giving the reading to the person, has to, within their own heart and soul, see if this resonates with them.
Exactly.
And what can I do about it if it's kind of like spot on, you know? And
exactly.
And not worry about, oh, I'm 35 and I haven't achieved my dream yet. Oh, this person said this is going to happen with that. No, you create your own vibration.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And like I tell people, I'm not a fortune teller or anything. I just read energy, you know, through the chakra system and through, you know, essential and what I feel, you know, supplements that you could be taking and whatnot. But it's up to you to see if the energy that I am giving to you resonates with you. I don't want you to do something, or you don't want to do something that, you know, you have to fight about. But sometimes you do have to fight your own self, because the mind is something else. You know, it doesn't want to.
Right. Right. There's a difference between limiting beliefs and living in fear and, you know, accepting blindly. There's a difference. And, I would love for this to be helpful to healers and readers out there, because what we do has value. It has so much value, but we have to know our place. That the people that show up as clients, their inner knowing, it carries more weight than what we are able to perceive.
Yeah.
And we need to put it in perspective, because even calling ourselves healers gives people the wrong idea sometimes, because, you know, we're not explaining to them and they have these perceptions that we're enlightened beings and better than them. And it's just not true. We're all humans, you know?
Well, the thing of it is that we are enlightened to a certain degree. And for me, I meet people where they are. And I also let them know that I wasn't always like this either. You know what I mean? And I'm still growing and learning. I'm still growing and I'm still
learning. And when I looked at that Caroline Mace program that she did an audio show on, got the name of the radio station, and she was talking, and what she said, you know, resonated with me tremendously, especially I know the power of words.
Yeah.
Because even in the most sacred text, it tells you there is power in the tongue. And I always say the power to heal or the power to break a person down. So words do hurt and words do have power. And I think living in the U.S. of A., we have completely given our power away to people who don't serve us but serve their own individual agendas. So
yes.
With the climate that's going on, I think I see people realizing that they've been bamboozled, and we have to take responsibility for what's going on the planet today. Like when you were talking about,
and do our part.
You know, Mother Earth, you know, and you know, because it's a living entity. It's not like, you know, it's a living, the Earth is a living entity, as we can see, just like the sun is a living entity. It gives energy. The stars also do that. The water, the ocean, the rivers. And so when we feel that we're separated from those things, we feel like we can throw everything in the ocean. We can create all of these imbalances here on the planet, and don't expect repercussions from that. So this is an excellent topic, Rachel. It is excellent. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
You know.
And, you know, on point with the whole words have power, we've been leading up to an exercise I'd like to do with you, if you're up for it.
I'm up.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me what I gotta do.
You know, okay, so also
guide
along
me.
with the Carolyn Meese, topic, we're all doing our own part. We can't all do the same thing, right? Like, for me, I feel like imparting the wisdom I've gleaned over my experiences is part of my purpose, but there are things that I'm weak at, and for me to pretend that I'm good at it is a disservice to them as well. So, you know, so we're all participating in the ways that we're able to.
Yes.
But I wanted to, so this is the exercise I wanted to do, and everyone do this, you know, you're not forced to, but I think this could be helpful in helping, giving us an inner compass and guiding us in living on purpose in our purpose and living in our own good opinion and getting in touch with our values. So if we don't do this for ourselves, someone else will dictate for us. You know?
Yes.
So it's important to do this work.
That's
so
true.
Here's the exercise I've been building up to.
Okay.
So when you think of a business that's really clear about what it provides, how it provides it, what it provides it to, or who it provides it to, you know, et cetera, how does that business make sure it remains on that trajectory and that, you know, say the staff has guidelines and direction and, you know, and others kind of understand the values and principles. It has something called a mission statement.
Right.
And, you know, just ever beyond radio, think about, you know, the beginning with its message of beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. It gives you an idea of what to expect and the values therein, you know? And then think of Wolf Spirit Radio. Some of, I mean, they have a longer mission statement, but, you know, the creed of the pack is survival, caring, protection, trust, and unconditional love, you know? So here's an exercise.
Okay.
We're going to come up with your soul's essence, mission statement. So here's how we're going to do it. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to choose four qualities, traits, states, or emotions that you'd like to commit to experiencing and putting out into the world. And that might bring up the question, how will you choose those things? Because there's so many things. But we're going to narrow it down to the things that you want to be associated with, that you value. And maybe you're seeking them in the world right now, right? Or maybe think about the positive traits people have described you as. And I'll share with you the qualities I chose. I chose love, joy, fulfillment, and freedom. So if you just go inside and kind of relax your mind and, you know, soften your gaze. And I know you know how to do this, Mama. Everyone follow along. Like, I'll read out some ideas. Maybe, this is not a complete list. You know, maybe it'll stimulate some creativity. So just let these words flow in and see if there's anything that sparks you. Some of the words that come to mind are wisdom, happiness, sensuality, purpose, integrity, nobility, truth, laughter, presence, openness, mindfulness, expansiveness, fitness, balance, resourcefulness, radiance, grace, peace, wonder, intuition, and so on. You know, there's countless. So you might actually come up with more than four at first. But what's coming to mind for you?
Well, as you were reading off the list, wisdom. A lot of people have said that I remind them of an oracle. The oracle.
Yeah.
And
I can see that absolutely.
What an oracle does is provide wisdom based on experience. So let's say if we go through certain things in life that may not be pleasant or present, you know, pleasant, we can provide wisdom or guidance to them based on our own experiences, and maybe by sharing those experiences, a person can get an idea on what their next move should be or not. That's the first word that came to me. And the other one that came to me was sensuality, you know, finding my own, you know, sensuality and being, okay with that. Okay with being loved, and caressed the way that I, you know, the way that makes me or my partner happy, but it all begins with me first.
Yeah.
So getting in touch with my sensuality and loving that part of myself. Because many people feel that, you know, energy workers or the people who doing the type of work that we do, we don't have that in our life, and we certainly do.
Right.
You know, so
absolutely.
I like that. That was the second.
That's so important.
So, yes, I'm telling you. And
so many women
have
shame around that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And to have fun too, which, I don't know if that was on your list, but fun.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. I love to have fun. I love to watch, comedy. I love to you know, I just love to have fun, you know.
Yeah.
And also you had mentioned travel. I love to travel. I have intentions of traveling the entire world. There's some places that I did travel to, but there's more that I want to see, and I have that itch, that urge to do that.
So how would we say that in a form of an essence or a quality or a value?
Well, the
value experience
the value of travel is you get to experience how other people live. I like to watch documentaries because we get to see how we get a glimpse of how other people are living. And when you get an opportunity to do that firsthand, you can bring back so much, because what happens is that there's a lot of filtering going on, you know, coming into this land. A lot of filtering out, a lot of things that are going on that we don't know what's going on. So when you get the opportunity to maybe travel, you don't even have to travel outside of the country. You could travel upstate. You can travel to New Mexico. You can travel anywhere, because I believe, or I know, that there's one race, which is the human race, and we all, most of us want the basic food, clothing, and shelter. And if there's anything on top of that, it's a gift. It's grace.
Mm.
So people in other lands are going through similar situations, because there's no utopia, as I found, as yet. There may be places that are close to it that really care about their people and their livelihood. You know, so travel is a thing that many people should do. You can travel through books. You know, by reading.
So are you, the value that you're getting from travel, is it empathy? Is it insight? You know, do you see what I'm saying?
It's insight, and it's compassion where needed, and it's love where needed. Yes. The value of travel, you have empathy. You connect with people. It's connecting.
Ooh, connection.
The human
right?
Yeah. Okay. The human connection with each other. That we're not different.
Right.
So much.
Exactly. There's, exactly. There's different rules for different cultures that are kind of unspoken.
Yes.
Notice, like in New York City, like I was telling JP earlier, it creates some conflict but it also creates the beauty and the magic of learning from others' experiences and their values.
Yes. Yes, and even walking in the city myself, on Friday I had the opportunity to see a gentleman for the second time who happens to be without a home. I go up to him, I connect with him, I talk with him. So I can travel from one block to another block and experience somebody else's situation and have empathy and compassion. And if people catch my glance, I will speak with them. I will say, hello, how are you? How's your day? You know, so that is the fourth
Perfect.
One. And then I
Perfect.
Have another one.
All right. We have about 15 minutes, and there's another piece that might take more time. So.
Okay. So I'll just say
you have another one, though. Go ahead.
Nobility and grace and laughter.
Nobility, grace, and laughter. Okay, so how we're going to narrow these down is we might have to do it on the fast track, but what we're going to do is kind of prioritize these by feeling the resonance, because as you were saying, you know, words do have power, and they create movement within us, you know? We've resonated to certain words more so than others. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the word, speak it, and then, you know, using the wisdom of your heart, putting your dominant hand on your heart, and that's the one you write with. So putting the dominant hand on the heart, and do this at, listeners can do this too, if you've picked your words, each one individually and ask, you know, say it aloud, and then ask, does it feel harmonious? Does it feel expansive? Do you feel an expansion with it? And also, does it feel genuine? Does it feel authentic to you? So I have your wisdom for you, Mama.
Yeah, wisdom. For me, yeah, this does feel genuine to me when I put my heart, when I put my dominant hand over my heart. It feels good. It feels effortless.
You know what? Like, as I said, your truth is most important, but I have to say, as an observer, this word is just so perfect for you. I mean, I would say that too. I would say that as an objective person looking inside. Not fully objective, but... Mm-hmm. And then the second word you said was sensuality.
Yes. Yeah. Now as I'm learning more and more about myself and looking at my body and touching my body, I'm beautiful and marvelously made. And at times I never felt that way, but now I do more and more. So it feels genuine to me. And it feels like acceptance, and I'm okay with that.
Beautiful. That's so inspiring.
Yes. Thank you.
And then I have fun.
Fun. Oh. Fun. Fun. Fun for me is like, yeah, girls just want to have fun. And fun.
I also have laughter.
Fun and laughter go together.
So which one feels, tune into them and see which one, which word feels resonant, expansive, harmonious, genuine.
Laughter. Mm-hmm.
I also have connected or connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's definitely genuine and authentic.
Because it's expansive.
Yes, expansive.
Connection, okay. I have two more here. Nobility.
I am noble. I recognize that. I'm really recognizing the nobility, because the sun and the earth are like nobility and royalty, but not in a way to think that I'm better than anybody else. No, not that way. In a way of being noble with my intentions.
So coming back to your heart, you know, feeling into your heart, the way it feels, the experience of the word, nobility, you know, you're feeling for harmony.
Good.
Okay.
It feels good.
And now try grace.
Grace. I have been given grace. I have been given grace, and because I have been given grace, I know how to
or I'm learning how to give grace to others.
Mm-hmm.
Grace. Grace is part of the universal life force of the earth. So let's say, and when I'm feeling grace, I feel like tears come to my eyes because grace is given by a force that we can't even see sometimes.
So okay, I'm circling grace. I'm sorry, but grace trumps nobility. I mean, the movement
okay,
and the,
yes.
the
okay,
tears.
Okay,
okay, but now we still have five. So between grace and connection and sensuality, what are the top two that really feel genuine, that really feel harmonious, on point? Because we have another step that we have to do, and we only have a few minutes.
Okay.
The sensuality.
Oh, sensuality.
Sensuality, connection, or grace.
I would have to say all three. Sensuality, grace, and connection. Yes. Because with connection comes wisdom. With connection comes sensuality. And with grace, that all, it connects to me. You know? So grace, sensuality, and let me see, what was the other word? Oh, connection.
Laughing. Connection.
Yes.
And laughing.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we'll have five, all right? And, you know, some people out there might have five that they can't narrow it down. That's okay, too. We're going to go right on to the next step because we only have a few minutes left and I want to honor time.
Yes.
So now that we have the qualities, we're going to create a mission statement. And so, again, my qualities that I chose were love, joy, fulfillment, and freedom.
Yes.
When I turned those into a mission statement, mine went something like this. I prioritize love in my life and choose thoughts, actions that bring me joy and joy to others.
Oh.
As I model for others how to find fulfillment of their highest needs and the freedom in knowing their inner wisdom and ability to heal. So I turned it into kind of
wow
for my life, right? Using those words. And, you know, in the mission statement is my call to action. And if ever I am in question about a choice or a direction I want to go or whatever it is, I can ask myself, am I coming from a loving place?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Am I open to the freedom of choice? Am I choosing this? Right? Am I open to possibilities there? How do I have fun in this moment? Right? You know, if something was weighing heavy, I can ask, how do I have more joy here? How can I have more fun?
Right.
And will this activity or whatever provide fulfillment to my highest needs? So you're using your values to navigate. So you kind of get the idea of how to create the mission statement.
Right. I'm going to create that after the program because don't get me to do it on the spot.
No.
It's going to take time for me.
No, it's okay.
You know, to get there.
So I have your words for you. And then, you know, you create that mission statement. And again, I'll repeat mine. I prioritize love in my life and choose thoughts and actions that bring joy to myself and others as I model for others how to find fulfillment of their highest needs and the freedom in knowing their inner wisdom and ability to heal. So.
Wow, that's powerful.
And we all have that call to action. And this is how we figure out, you know, our contribution. You know, and, you know, for me, coming to the fact that I prioritize love is important because when we choose other things over love, we withhold our love. And
that is true.
Creates pain. It's what creates pain for us.
That is so true.
I always have to acknowledge that love comes first for me. Like, it's my first top priority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tuning into yourself and your inner wisdom and getting that call to action, it's how we stay in power and we become a living example of the values that we've committed to and hold ourselves to the standard. And I believe that we are the change. We got to be the change. We have to be, you know, we're human beings. So there's power in who we are and what we value and what we uphold into the world. So yeah, I want to thank you for sharing your values. I mean, that was pretty vulnerable. So thank you.
Well, you know, I'm among friends.
That's right.
So I could, you know, free up myself, you know, because, you know, even if I was not, it still allows me to free up myself. So it may give another person, permission to do the same.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But this was great, yeah. Rachel. Oh my God.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I knew I had to do it. When I looked at that clock, I said, ah! So I'm going to hang up now and well, I'm going to put myself on mute so I can listen to the rest of the show.
Okay. I think we only have a couple minutes, but thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. And, you know, it helped other people, I think.
Thank you, and thank you, JP.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for bringing Rachel in, and we'll probably hear some more from Rachel.
Absolutely.
We've got about a minute left. Do you want to give us some parting thoughts?
Yes, I do have other ideas, and I would like to create some anticipation around possibly doing group meditation or constellation, blind constellations to get you in touch with your inner guidance, things like that. I think that could be really powerful. I just want to say
that. Fab. Sounds fab.
Yeah, it would be so cool, right? So, I hope that this inspired you. I hope it wasn't too heady and, you know, hard to digest. And I hope that it inspires you to get out of your comfort zone and do something amazing in the world. You know, now that you have your own approval, your mission. I want to say so many blessings to you. Thank you for choosing, you know, this experience and, you know, ever beyond to, you know, give your attention to Wolf Spirit Radio. It's a valuable resource. We don't take that lightly. And thank you so much, JP, for inviting me on your show. I'm so honored. This is such an amazing show and it's really helping the planet. And I just want to say thanks for calling in, Kafunya, and so we meet again.
Thank you very much, Rachel Schaefer. Good night. Beyond.